Welcome to The Astrocast, a monthly podcast from Numinous resident astrologers Bess Matassa and Sandy Citron.
Welcome, welcome. This is Sandy Citron.
And Bess Matassa, and we are back with another seasonal installment of The Astrocast. As the Numinous resident astrologers, giving you a view into the energetics of the season ahead. And we have to come clean. We're talking today about Libra season, but we are technically recording still in the early stages of Virgo season for some very Libran reasons that we'll get into. The first of which, that our super Libra here, Sandy Citron, Sun and Moon in Libra, is getting married this weekend.
It's a Libran week for me. Making the big commitment.
Yeah, this Libra sign that's all about polarity and partnership and the negotiation of ourselves vis-a-vis another human, other humans out there that we'll dive into. So the ultimate, the Libra engaging in a very Libran act this week.
We've been writing vows and making spreadsheets.
Yeah.
Doing the Virgo thing and the Libra thing all at once.
Yeah. And I've been having my own Libran times with a love affair. With a Libra.
That is not me.
Yeah, that's not Sandy. Sandy and I are not getting married. That's proved complex, as all interesting, expansive partnerships often do. But just to give you guys a little bit of a recap, as much as we've experienced Virgo season so far, how's it been for you, Sandy?
Well, I have been in the most Virgo of Virgo seasons I can remember, because I've been making about 3 or 4 spreadsheets a day, working granularly through each minute of the week as I plan and plot every tiny detail from Lexan tub order to name spelling to allergies. This is very Virgo.
Yeah.
So, and in the meantime, I mentioned last time I got to hang out in the suburbs with a therapy dog and get my feet in the ground and pick up poop. And it was very Virgoan.
Yeah. We talked a lot on the last episode about the Virgoan, the possibilities of non-judgment and the possibilities of blessing the full range of human experience and all of the bodily sensations and functions.
Yeah.
I feel like I've had a pretty body-centric time so far this Virgo season. And a lot of what's been coming up was, is related to what we spoke about in terms of Virgo being Mercury-ruled, so it is about information, intake, output, but also intake and output through sometimes very nonverbal channels. So I think so far for me, I've been really using all the surfaces of my body and the signals of my body to pick up information, to put out information, and really exploring kind of the land beyond the verbal so far this Virgo season.
That's great. I could use a little glimmer of that. I've been a little bit out of body and more in the spreadsheets
side of Virgo.
Yeah.
So let's dive in to this Libra season juiciness. So what was first firing for you when you took a look at the season ahead, Sandy?
So I went into my little dreamland and tried to see what would come through, and I had, first of all, this image of little glitter confetti falling all around me, and it was beautiful and sparkly and iridescent. And then it became more clear that I was in a snow globe.
Ooh.
And so it was this really beautiful imaginary kind of world that I was in, but then I started to almost panic and feel I got to get out of this. There's this feeling too of wait, am I in the snow globe because I want to be, or do I need to break out of the snow globe? And am I free? And is this a structure that I created because I liked it? Or is this something that's changing? And how do I keep the beauty, but also kind of quell some of these strong feelings?
So interesting. Yeah, I feel like it dovetails, maybe not with the image I was getting, but with a thought that I had about, those aphorisms or whatever platitudes that are sometimes on greeting cards that you're oh God, I can't hear this one more time, but it's also deeply, deeply true. And the quote, I don't know who the originator of the quote is, and it's probably, you know, it's like one of those things that's, it's like a super potent quote, and then it gets plastered on a million things, and suddenly we like lose the kind of energy behind it. But it's something along the lines of, you have to give up the life that you imagined, you know, in order to have the life that's waiting for you, or to get the life that's waiting for you. And it felt so intensely kind of like all of this kind of cardinal energy mashup, all these Libran ideals, like what you're talking about, the snow globe, that feeling of both this kind of aesthetic ideal and this kind of like union ideal, this fantasy world. And there is this such an interesting relationship to me and embedded in Libra between a kind of fantasy, but also like a pretty intense realism sometimes, or an ability to cut through that kind of justice card in the tarot, like cut through the crap and actually get to the core of the quote-unquote reality. And then all these Saturn, you know, and Pluto in Capricorn aspects that we're going to be talking about. So that phrase came through. And then also like the image was this kind of mashup of Friday Night Lights, the television series. It was also a film and a book. Friday Night Lights is a television series. So like Clear Eyes, Full Hearts, can't Lose.
Love that.
But that feeling of like the hyper-realism of that show, but also that the realism of it was kind of like the gateway to the highest idea, to actually like taking these players higher, was kind of like, I don't know, the feeling of like, I kept imagining football games and this kind of, or competitive sports, where there's this feeling of also getting into kind of like conflict with other players, and this kind of polarity that we're going to talk about in Libra season, brushing up against other people and doing so in like kind of a loving, like there's a combative aspect to it, but it's also loving, and all of these issues of like projection, because a big theme that came up for me when I was looking at the charts was, you know, basically there's kind of like a maturing that's happening this season, and we're kind of being asked to re-own some of the things that we projected onto other people in partnership, and re kind of possess them, you know, both in a responsible manner and also like kind of in a reckoning manner of like, you know, being willing to go deeper into ourselves, our shadow territories, without having to be led there by somebody else, or like, you know, basically come into sort of a projections, you know, style situation where we have to like see our shadow through someone else, like going there willingly. So then the second part of it was the Pat Benatar song Shadows of the Night, like, you know, which is like all about like, I mean, it's diving into the shadow land, but it's also this very Libran, like, just take my hand, it's gonna be all right.
Wait,
like,
we have, so, you gotta sing it.
Yeah.
How's it go?
We're running with the shadows of the
yes,
night.
Yes, okay.
So baby, take my hand.
Yes.
And then it's surrender all your dreams to me tonight, they'll come true in the end. So that feeling of like giving up the life that we've imagined to have the life that's waiting for us, like giving up some of these dreams that are outmoded, that are not really firing in our bodies anymore, to actually liberate the energy to get at something even bigger than than we could imagine.
Yeah, we're working to up level here, it seems like. And it's like, can we do it without losing everything?
Yeah.
Can we do it without actually cracking the snow globe and losing all the water and the magic? You know?
Yeah.
And so we're not just a puddle on the floor, but by really maybe like, okay, I'll really pound this metaphor into the ground or ruin it or something. But it's like, we don't want to be alone in the snow globe either. We have to interact with others, and it has to be a little bit messier than just this like pristine little world of like balance.
Yeah.
It has to be, we have to kind of work it and come up against each other and find the real balance, that we are free, so that we are living our best lives, and it might be a little messy.
Yeah, without having to like completely let the flooded image of the snow globe. And it's something we'll definitely get into when we talk about Libra and Scorpio energy, that kind of, you know, with the Venus retrograde and with some other aspects that are happening. I love this idea of, you know, that balance too is like so dynamic, and it happens frictionally. And I imagine those football players too, like sort of colliding, and that there's a certain amount of collision that's coming up this season.
Yeah. I have two things I like to tell my Libra clients. So this is maybe just a little mini lesson on Libra. One thing is that it's like kind of a joke to me how every astrology book you pick up about Libra is like, you're really good at balance. You know, like this is what you do is just try to find the balance. It's like most of the Libras that I know, myself included, are not necessarily like good at balance. It's just a kind of obsession, you know, right. And that is something that, yes, as you grow and develop and mature, you can work and find better ways of making it part of your life. I love that Libra is, that Saturn is exalted in Libra. And so there's this idea that if you really work and you find alignment, you find structure, and you have boundaries, you can create the balance.
Yeah.
You know, but the other thing that I tell my Libra clients is that it's like if you have a lot of Libra, and so this is available for all of us during Libra season. It's like when the sun is moving through a sign, we all get to be in the energy of that sign. And so I described Libra energy as being like having these like sci-fi goggles where there's like a little meter reading in the side. And so that with Libra, everything that you look at, the meter is going, is this balanced? Is this balanced? Right. And it's going to kind of like go up and down. And until you get whatever it is that you're looking at into some kind of form of balance, it's going to just irritate you that this meter reading is going to.
Yeah. I love that you're bringing up the dynamism of that, because, you know, with all the science energies, there's these kinds of like, yeah, like every time you open a book and there's this reading like, oh, you're this harmonious. And it's like, for me, Libra energy has always been about injecting the environment or injecting the situation with like whatever the counter is, almost whatever the counterbalance is necessary. So it's like walking into a room and there's an excess of some sort of energy in the room, and the Libran energy comes in and redresses it, you know, corrects any, or sort of searching for that, you know, what's the word?
Equilibrium.
Yeah. Between the extremes, but that's so dynamic, and that's this kind of sampling process. And I feel like that kind of 180 aspect of Libra is always so intriguing to me, because it's that polarity. It's like, oh no, like we're all on the same axis together. It's not like, oh, I'm the opposite, as in like there's something that I'm bringing to this environment that's not, like it's already like the shadow. In some ways, Libra like draws the shadow out in this kind of funny way, because it's not necessarily like the deep diving shadow sign that we think of like a Scorpio energy, but it draws to the surface what's not being represented in some ways when it enters an environment, you know.
Whew, Bess, you just gave me a whole epiphany about myself. That explains so much. Yeah, it's like if I show up in a relationship and there's something that really bothers me that the other person isn't doing, I'll just like do it to the end of days.
Right.
And I'll hate myself. Like I'll, you know, there'll be times where I'm like, why am I so gripping on this thing?
Like you'll perform the
thing.
Yeah,
I'll perform the thing.
Yeah.
Because we need it to be there.
Yeah.
So I'll do it.
Yeah.
Know? And
yeah, it's funny. I always think too, it's like, it's kind of funny. I mean, I know that Libra is an energy that's ruled by Venus, and we think about Venus as this kind of like pleasure-centric, touchy-feely, you know, romantic kind of hearts and flowers, or, you know, whatever. I mean, there's a lot of different complexity to that planet. But for me, there's something so, and I mean masculine in the yang, you know, obviously masculine, feminine in that huge polarity of expression. There's something to me that kind of cutting quality of Libra too, that doesn't, it feels ideal, like there is an ideal functioning, but it doesn't feel like this kind of like, it's not like Neptunian fantasy land, it's not like total fusional, like romantic in the kind of traditional sense that we would think of, but it's almost like it's like a warrior for the ideal, but in a way that's very ferocious sometimes. This is a cardinal masculine, quote unquote, yang energy, you know? And I think about it a lot with the idea of cause and effect too, which is coming up a lot this month. Like knowing our, you know, we learned out of Virgo season, this kind of full range of our humanness, we're kind of blessing that. Venus has entered Scorpio, even more blessing of our humanness and carnal urges. And now we're kind of reckoning with cause and effect, and like kind of being able to see, like you're saying, that like the snow globe balance too, of like how much can I put, you know, or how much do I need to kind of like adjust in the environment without busting the thing open, but also like kind of knowing, yeah, knowing the kind of knowing the effects before we kind of initiate the same old kind of obsessive groove of behavior or whatever it is.
Yeah. And I'm just going to riff on this because it's so good. You know, we're going to talk about Venus retrograde soon, but thinking about this retrograde motion, there's going to be revisiting the past. And so as a big part of this Libra, what you can use the Libra logic and objectivity for is to look at your past with relationships and decide, like, okay, if I want this to work better, what can I do in the future? Like, what if this is the effect, like, what new actions can I take? What plans can I make? What new conversations can I have? What new boundaries can I set? How can I make this just logical, productive, diplomatic, efficient with my words?
Yeah.
To connect with another person, to say, instead of getting all caught up in the emotion of like, oh, that this is feeling, that feeling, Libra wants you to find a better solution that's verbal and diplomatic.
Yeah.
That you can say ahead of time so that way you have a better outcome. So this whole cause and effect thing is really profound because it's not just about like, oh, I'm in the moment and I did this and now I'm in this effect. It's like future projecting to like, well, what effects do you want to have? What systems do you want to put into place?
Yeah. And, you know, this is like, it's a real, like, it's not an energy of like, oh, let's sit around and, you know, sort of wallow in like guilt pools or like spin, you know, with all of the kind of, it isn't like a regretful energy or, you know, it's not, you know, like this kind of like self-correcting that's very, you know, that you can kind of get mired in these holes of the past. And this is kind of cuts through this energy this month, just sort of cuts through. And it's exactly, you know, what you're describing in terms of like, okay, like how can this function? Like, you know, it's the patterns and the cycles are just sort of like outliving, you know, like outliving their life through the body. They're sort of like just spinning. They've lost kind of, they're losing their momentum. And how can I create a better system and be a little like clinical about it? You know, I mean, that's not to say that obviously the emotions continue to live and you're not going to like lose your humanness, you know, this season, certainly not with Venus and Scorpio either. but yeah, like there's a kind of a clinician's almost gaze that you can come in and be like, okay, like let me, how can I like rationally evaluate my life patterns, you know, especially in relationship.
Yeah.
So the sun enters Libra on the 22nd of September. And then 2 days later, we have this Aries full moon that is strongly aspected by both Saturn in Capricorn and Chiron in Aries, which then is going to be retrograding and entering, it's already been traveling retrograde, but it's going to be entering the sign of Pisces the next day.
So don't worry if that's too much jargon for you. We're going to go down and break it down.
But the first thing I feel like is that might be kind of interesting to touch on, and, you know, depending, even if you're a seasoned student of astrology, it's interesting to kind of drop back into, especially during Libra season, is this idea of polarity and opposition. Because when we have a full moon, what we're having, astrologically speaking, is an opposition between whatever sign the sun is in and whatever sign the moon is in. And so in this case, sun in Libra, moon in Aries. And this is kind of like the polarity pair that leads off the whole zodiac, because, you know, if the zodiac is beginning with Aries, so there's six pairs of these kind of polar signs together. So how do you describe, you know, kind of the principle of polarity when you work with clients or when you, you know, are working through your own astrological info, Sandy?
Yeah, we need like a little musical thing that says like astrology lesson.
Here we are. Polarity 101.
Yeah. So what I say is that there's two objects that are in opposite experiences, and what you're trying to do is gain the awareness of the whole. So that you're trying to kind of map out the full range, the gestalt, if you will, the full experience of these two opposites. And really, someone who has a natal opposition or on a day where there is like a full moon or, you know, an important opposition happening, this is a time to try to gain awareness, to really bring yourself out of the muck and mire of feeling pulled in two different directions, to find out, well, what is the balance of the whole thing?
Yeah, I feel like the polarity points, you know, the oppositions are really, they're powerful ways to kind of usher us into that notion of going willingly without having to be led through circumstances or through partnership, because I feel like so often we'll feel our oppositions, we'll feel the energy of opposition only when someone kind of presents, and this is like classic, you know, Jungian projection of like, okay, if you're like disowning your anger, you know, you better believe you're going to have like an angry boss or like a partner's going to come into your life who's going to play that out or whatever it is. And it's not to absolve any other humans of responsibility for what they're bringing to the table, but you know, it is kind of an interesting way to think about your own growth and expansion as all of these sort of circumstances and beings that you're colliding with are waking yourself up, are waking you up potentially to, you know, dormant parts of yourself. And I really see that in these pairs of polarities, polar signs, because they're both functioning around the same principle. They're both like trying to figure out the same thing, you know, whether it's selfhood or desire or information. And they're sort of, they're polarizing on different kind of ends of that spectrum, but they're trying to kind of integrate almost like the same larger theme.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For Libra and Aries, I think of this as the relationship axis.
Yeah.
So Aries is the experience of me and myself and who am I and what can I do and how can I be a leader and take action and manifest myself onto the world. And Libra is about, and how do I form a diplomatic kind of interaction with you. So that's not just all about me, it's about us. And it's about our kind of what we're doing together as a partnership. And so with Libra comes the question of how do I not lose myself? How do I not lean too far forward? But how do I extend out a hand to you to try to see things from your point of view and come to some kind of thought that is a compromise.
Yeah, yeah, this kind of willpower compromise. And I also kind of see, I mean, both of these are signs that lead off their respective seasons, you know, because they're cardinal signs. So they begin the, you know, the fall and the spring equinox.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention the
fall equinox. Yeah, happy fall equinox, by the way.
Right. That's when the sun enters the sign of Libra.
Yeah, woo-hoo. So this is cardinal energy. Each of the cardinal signs, you know, Aries, Libra, Capricorn and Cancer begin their respective seasons. You know, the fixed signs are the fullness of that middle part of the season, and then the mutable signs are the falling away.
Yeah, and the cardinal means hinge. And oh, so yeah. It's like a door opening into the new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I see on the Aries-Libra polarity, which is what we're experiencing at this full moon, I totally see that feeling because for me there's such a feeling in Aries of like, the freshness, this kind of like just begin again and again, like fuck it up, restart. You know, it's like every like, you know, fresh littles just kind of like hatching over and over and over again. And Libra, there is a quality of that, you know, because of the cardinal energy. But there's also a certain wisdom that we've reached when we've kind of reached the archetypal experience. We've traveled through six. We're entering into the seventh sign of the wheel now. And that idea of like, yes, begin and again, but what you were speaking about in the beginning in terms of with the information that we have, with the adjustments that we've, you know, kind of made. So how can there be like this sense of freshness also inside of experience or coming out of experience, you know, and yes, starting again, but starting again with, you know, I don't want to say better information, but more information or more experience.
Yeah. So on this full moon, the sun and the moon are square to Saturn, as we mentioned. And so this might be, you know, this is like the active, working, up-leveling, changing, getting out the axe and breaking open the snow globe and trying to build a better life, trying to find some way of working that makes sense, yeah. Something that you can, that's in better alignment. We're all looking for a better alignment, but it's not coming easy necessarily.
Yeah. And, you know, in sort of conjunction with that, it feels like for me when I looked at this moon, all I could think about was like reclaiming the disowned parts, like the kind of responsibility that we have to take in that kind of dance of projection. And it feels like it's almost like this full moon is training us for the beginning of Venus retrograde, which is a lot about, at least, you know, in my kind of like take on it, about reclaiming these sort of disowned parts of ourselves in order to come into a fuller, you know, collision with other humans and a fuller partnership. So this feels almost like this is kind of the kickstart, you know, almost. I don't often think about full moons as a kickstart. That's kind of like a new moon energy. But it's almost like, where can you look around and think about, even in your languaging, like, what's your languaging around, like, yeah, I'm not like that, or like, I never, or this person's doing this to me, or just looking, you know, not that there aren't things that we have to kind of reckon with that are injustices, or, you know, that are our complicated kind of partnership dances where we're asking somebody else to take responsibility, but this feels like a responsibility moon to me in some ways, especially with those Saturn aspects, where you can be like, okay, you know, kind of like, what are these kind of narratives I'm spinning about how I collide in partnership? And, you know, what are those kinds of themes over time? If you notice, like, God, I always get involved with X, or this is always the, and just looking with like loving attention to kind of the bits or the parts that maybe you've kind of farmed out, you know, to other people to do the dance of, and where you might be disavowing those in yourself or kind of quieting them down.
Yeah. The great relationship writer, or he just writes, he's like a self-help kind of guy, Gay Hendricks. He writes that for a functioning relationship, both people need to take 100% responsibility. So you can't take 50% responsibility and expect your relationship to work.
Right.
And so since we're in Libra season, which is all about relationships, and we're talking about responsibility, it's like going around and gathering up that 100%. It's always a dance, and you're always a dancer.
Yeah.
And like, you're doing the moves, even if the other person's doing moves too, you have 100% responsibility for your moves.
Yeah.
So
your moves. I like this.
Yeah, this is good, especially since with the Chiron conjunct the moon in this one, this is, there's a lot of woundedness here that can be coming up. And so there's a lot of sensitivity and vulnerability, and you could be getting really triggered. And as soon as you do get triggered, it's hard to be logical. You know, it's hard to be in that logical Libra state of mind because your subconscious mind is activated and all the chemicals are being released, and you're looking around for who's going to kill you or what's going to hurt. And so slowing it down and in your more conscious moments, taking the responsibility that you need to take, maybe doing some journaling, some self-reflection, these can be helpful. Not that I'm trying to scare anybody, you know, that sounds a little scary.
No.
But this is an emotional, full moons are emotional. You're at a heightened energy. You're trying to gain a whole new level of awareness. And this is going to be about your relationships. Yeah. And it is a really good kind of primer for the Venus retrograde.
Yeah. It's interesting because I was, you know, I was doing a bit of tarot, you know, for this season. And one of the cards that I kept pulling is the same card that I pulled last season for Virgo season, the Judgment card.
Whoa.
And it really felt like a continuation of that work in so many ways, where so much of the energy of that card is around kind of like, you know, the range of our humanness and kind of standing in acceptance of that, to ultimately reach kind of an acceptance of the range of everybody else's humanness as well. And it felt like so much entangled with this Chiron work and Chiron dancing into Pisces the next day as well, because, and the Venus retrograde energy, because I don't know, I was like recently, and you know, we haven't really touched too much on the, you know, besides in the beginning about your Libran journey and your wedding and my Libran journey with my love affair or whatever. But I was having this like difficult time a few weeks ago, you know, in this like challenging relationship where I was just feeling so like isolated, not in victimhood necessarily, but just like those kinds of spins you get where you're like, the other person can't possibly be feeling like I'm like alone in this feeling, and like they're like, they've moved on or they're doing this or whatever the thing is. And it's like, we're like, as banal as it sounds or like as obvious, we're all having like a deeply human experience. And it's like Chiron entering Pisces feels like a reminder of that in all of this like work of, okay, like reclaiming your stuff and, you know, kind of like looking with clarity at your partnerships. Also, like, remember that like, even when you're having, like, difficult kind of moments or strife in partnerships, that the other person's having a time, too. I mean, we don't know the time, the nature of the time, but the other people involved are also having their, like, their full kind of human ranges as well. And just to sort of be, stand in remembrance of that at the same time as we, it's so easy to get kind of isolated and entrenched when we're having, you know, kinds of, like, messy growth expansion periods where we feel like this is, I'm the only one, or this person's not understanding me, or whatever the thing, whatever the kind of energy is.
Yeah, as Chiron is moving between signs this year, and that happens, also Uranus is moving between signs. This is the big deal about 2018, is that Chiron's moving into Aries, and then it goes back to Pisces, and then it goes back to Aries. We're all kind of picking up the pieces of the past a little bit and trying to heal on a deep, deep level so that we can move forward and be activated and be the leaders we need to be. And so it is an emotional, this is an emotional time for a lot of people, and people are getting triggered. You know, we don't, it's always, it's like just as we are raising awareness of our own moments of being triggered, it can be helpful to remember, like, wow, I don't really know how that other person is getting triggered right now, yeah, or what they're working with.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's really going on? What's the story? That's the Chiron in Pisces is like, can I understand the experience of the masses?
Yeah. And like reclaiming whatever the projected parts are and kind of doing our work to pick up on that, then gives us this incredible gateway to actually like see people as they are, you know, in their right, full humanness, without kind of being all like dressed up in our, all our like shadow work, you know, kind of costuming, which is great preparatory work for Venus's retrograde journey that it begins through Scorpio, you know, which in so many ways, in my mind at least, Scorpio is about, you know, getting into the like down and dirty trenches in order to bless those parts of ourselves, in order to then be freed up to actually come into deep intimate collision with another person, because we've gone there in our own consciousness and our own heart space, and we're available to be raw with another person because we say, you know, I've seen my own meat, you know, and like, show me your meat now. Like, I can, I'm ready to deal.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. I'm worthy.
Yeah.
My self-worth is strong enough that I can be really vulnerable, and yeah, I could be so vulnerable that we can have intimacy.
Yeah.
Because you can't have intimacy when you're guarded. We can't have intimacy when you're afraid of what might be found out about you, or you don't trust yourself. So Venus goes retrograde here from October 5th all the way through November 16th. And so Venus is retrograde for between 40 and 43 days. And this happens about every 18 or 19 months. And Venus is actually the planet that's retrograde the least amount of time. Mm-hmm. So only 7% of the time is Venus retrograde, which I haven't unpacked that yet, but that could be interesting to figure out. Yeah, that
is interesting. Well, and the number 7, too, I think even like Kabbalah and Tree of Life is the number associated with Venus.
Yeah.
It's the number 7, so yeah. I don't know. Side note. House. Side note.
Venus.
Yeah, this is interesting. When I started thinking about Venus's retrograde journey, which this is going to, Venus is going to travel through the signs of Libra and Scorpio for the rest of the year, and not enter Sagittarius until early 2019.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's in the first week, early January.
Do you think we're really working on our relationships for the rest of the year?
Yeah. But I started thinking about, well, I thought about two things when I was thinking about this Venus retrograde journey. The first being, and, you know, I think it was like around, it was like at some point in ancient Greece. I mean, this is like very loose chronology, obviously, but there was a moment in astrological history where Libra and Scorpio were thought of as one sign. Mm. And a lot of it had to do with the way that the constellations actually were conflated in the sky. And interestingly enough, Libra at that point was called the Claws, because it was seen as like the claws of the actual Scorpio constellation, because they were sort of like cross-pollinated or like hybridized in some way. So it was almost, you know, seen as like one energy, which is a really, I don't know, it was interesting to me to start thinking about that with regard to this Venus retro, because these are the two signs that are we think of most explicitly as related to grappling with partnership and grappling with that kind of mirroring process in order to then go into the, you know, the trenches of Scorpio. And it felt to me like this is a really powerful opportunity to blow out our notions of, you know, this, again, this kind of like these projected ideals that aren't working anymore in relationship, the kind of rigid roles, the ways we, you know, think that we have to show up, whatever it is, kind of blow out the polarized notion of like good, bad, like evil, whatever, like what this person's doing to me, what I'm doing, what I'm having done to me, any of that kind of like the polarity that actually functions to polarize us, to push us away from one another, and to actually start to work along that all, like this entire axis in between, and to be able to see our relationships in this like much more complex light by doing this deep dive. You know, any retrograde takes the energy inward, you know, to a certain extent, and the partnership energy turned inward is, you know, we're refining our own relationship, you know, to ourselves in order to come into partnership. You know, and then thinking about the myth, you know, and if you're like into mythology, you can like Google it, read up on it, of Inanna and Ereshkigal, which is like a myth that I always associate with Libra and Scorpio, because Inanna, basically the story is that Inanna is like the queen of heaven, like kind of a Libran figure. Her sister Ereshkigal is the queen of the dead, a Scorpio figure that lives in the underworld. And Inanna takes this journey to visit her sister for various reasons, ends up like hanging from a meat hook, dead in the underworld, and then is then like reborn. And it's this whole, it's basically a journey to integrate shadow. And it feels like there's a bit of that, you know, going on during this Venus retrograde.
Yeah. So how can we do this best? You know, as I'm listening to you, I'm like, oh yeah, how do I
hang from a meat hook?
How do I integrate shadow? And how do I, you know, really try to find a different way of thinking, as opposed to, you know, it's so easy to get into the cycle of like, well, you're doing this and I'm doing this and I'm not, you know, and we're polarized and we're not meeting. It's easy. It's like, you know, a lot of our role models did that.
Yeah.
So we go inward, and maybe the best thing to do is to raise the awareness, right? So that's, you know, I personally find Venus retrogrades to be kind of unconscious times for me. Maybe that's because I have a lot of Libra in my chart. But I find it hard to, like, I get all of my shadow stuff does come up.
Yeah.
It's not the most comfortable time. I tend to lash out more and be, like, the kind of, like, least evolved side of myself in relationships. And so, you know, this is a great moment as we're looking to the future. If you're listening to this podcast early in the season, then, you know, it's a little bit of planning that can be done. A journaling practice might be really great for the days of the Venus retrograde to see, like, what's going on, what's on your mind, and compare that at the end to the beginning. See what journey you took. This could be a time to like really, really talk, you know, really have some of those conversations about the past. Typically, you know, you could do, you know, kind of, you could do like a state of the union of your unions.
Yeah. Or the state of the union with yourself if you're not in partnership or that's not part of your flow.
And this can be any important relationships too. You know, Bess, you and I could do this because we're kind of partners here.
Right, right. And we're on a polarity. We're a Libra and an Aries.
Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't have to be necessarily about your relationship partners, but what you are, you know, often it would be, but this can include business partners. This can include, you know, best friends.
Yeah. And, you know, Venus work is also around, you know, kind of blowing out Venus retrograde, but blowing out the notion of like, a constricted pleasure center. It's like, where do you limit yourself Maybe limit yourself from certain kinds of partners or certain kinds of solo experiences that bring you pleasure because of sort of preconceived, again, getting back to this kind of snow globe image, you know, how can we start to kind of find expansiveness in, I don't know, just sort of noticing any tightness around letting kind of the inflow, outflow, the kind of giving, receiving mechanism in your life too. You know, interestingly, when I drew a card for the Venus retrograde period, I got the Six of Pentacles, which is naturally ruled by the Moon in Taurus, and all of the sixes are these moments of kind of, you know, expansion after kind of the messiness of the fives and kind of a coming out party almost. And this is like the coming out party of the highest expression of Moon in Taurus, which is, you know, an expectation that there's always going to be some a filling mechanism. If there's a releasing, you know, if there's a lowering of the cup or a dying of the flower, there's something being composted for a new bloom. And this feels so connected to the Scorpio energy, you know, of the retrograde and just feeling into, you know, where there's like lack or scarcity mentality operating in the way that you, you know, give and receive pleasure. And this can be to yourself within partnerships. And, you know, you brought up like, how do we deal? Like, okay, like we're hanging on the meat hook. Like, how do we deal with this? I feel like there's the availability to come tenderly and to come vulnerably and to use some of that like energy of realness. Like I think of both Libra and Scorpio as signs that have a certain amount of like realness to them. Like Libra comes at it, you know, through like, this kind of clarity, through this clear air of the logical mind sometimes. And Scorpio gets real because that's what, you know, it's meant to be sort of digging into the trenches. And, you know, in a very loving that there can be very honest exchanges that are still really from a place of deep love, especially when we're willing to like own our shit, you know, mm-hmm. and be like, all right, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I know my struggles to be, or this is what I know I'm showing up to this partnership with. Let's just get, you know, like, let's break it down, you know, let's get into it and get real.
Yeah. Yeah. Thinking about money, you know, you were talking about the senses and, the sensual side of Venus, and money is something that is often able to help us feel physically more secure and comfortable in our senses, feeling a level of luxury. And Scorpio, which part of Venus is retrograde, is through Scorpio. So Scorpio is the sign of other people's possessions. And so how can you receive? What's your money relationship? Maybe there's some reflection around that too. Yeah. You know, how can you feel supported in your relationships and also in the physical realm?
Yeah. And other people's possessions, I even think, you know, quite literally, like what you think other people possess that you don't, you know, and all the sort of senses of that phrase. And that could be, you know, sort of like looking at other people's lives, you know, from a sort of earthy, financial, sort of pragmatic sense, or, you know, there can be another sort of aspect of projection. Sometimes we think about projection as like, oh, the things we're not ready to live out, but they can also have projected deep hopes and desires and things we think we're never going to get, quote unquote, you know, that we project onto other people and look at sort of relationships that are like, oh, this person has it all, or this person is, you know, what I'm striving to, I'll never be, or I'll never get. And, you know, there's a real power in the Venus retrograde too for like reclaiming your right to have those longings and to also like, you know, liberate yourself like from the way that they're going to come to you in order to, I don't know, to open up to a different kind of receiving for like ways that pleasure and ways that, you know, whether it's money or whether it's, you know, sexuality or all these kinds of aspects of being open wide to receiving that Venus presents itself, you know, presents to us. How can we kind of like open wide to unexpected ways of receiving things during this Venus retrograde too? That might not come in forms and packaging that we expected.
Yeah. One thing we haven't talked about that much yet with Libra season and Venus is the idea of the concept of beauty. Mm. And this time when Venus goes retrograde, it could be an amazing time to kind of check back in with what is important to you and how you feel about beauty and what that means. And so one way that I could imagine this going is like connecting with your beauty, your own beauty in some new way, through a going inward process, as opposed to like a reactive, like kind of mirrored, what is the outside of me? Or could be a kind of like deeper dive into your inner sense of beauty. Whether, you know, the thing with beauty is that we like yearn for beauty because in a way, whether it's like a clear environment, beauty kind of signifies balance for us on a deep level. There's like a sense of symmetry and balance. And I'm not talking about necessarily like conventional beauty, but our feeling of what is beautiful, I think, can often come from this understanding of balance. And so kind of blowing that out a little bit as you move through your day, through your space, like how can you find more aesthetic balance in your surroundings and in your view of yourself? Aesthetic balance in your view of yourself. That doesn't make sense, but, you know, finding within yourself a sense of inner balance that then can radiate outward, that can feel like an experience of connecting with your beauty.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it makes me think of when you're describing this whole thing, I'm thinking of, like, you know, and maybe you're not into this, whatever, but, like, eye gazing with yourself. Like, when's the last time you've really looked into a mirror? I mean, it'll make you cry. Like, if you, I mean, to see your, like, if you look at yourself in a prolonged way, in the eyes, in a mirror, like, I mean, that, it feels like a deeply Venus retrograde and Scorpio thing, too, to kind of strip down, move beyond the, you know, like you're in this moment, if you do it long enough, where you're just looking into your own eyes, you know, the features of your face dissolve, the notions that you have about your body, your kind of hang-ups, you know, that people, you know, might have looking in a mirror, that all these layers kind of strip and you get into this, like, very human kind of essence experience, you know, and then at the same time also, like, remembering that your pleasure center, it's always a reciprocal relationship. It's like what you're looking upon in beauty is looking back at you, you know, and is a part of you as well, whether it's you looking at a relationship and aspirationally or saying, oh God, you know, this person, I love them so much, or whatever the thing is. In that act, there's a recuperation that you can, a recuperative act that you can make to also remember that that act is an act of love. There's a part of them that you're seeing in yourself. I mean, it's always this kind of mirroring, which is the greatest gift of Libra and, you know, to a certain extent of Scorpio, too, where we can use this concept of beauty to every experience that we have of beauty in the physical world, you know, in our relationships, to remind us that, you know, we're seeing part of our own, you know, divinity in these collisions, too.
So on October 8th, we have a new moon in Libra. And this is like my new moon because it's on my birthday and I was born on a Libra new moon.
Yeah. What does being born on a new moon feel like to you?
There's a kind of focus to it. So the way I usually describe this to my clients, which isn't what you asked me, but I'll Libra this out. I'll talk about someone else's experience instead of mine. Perfect. So I think of the moon sign as how you have your emotional reactions to things. And so when your reacting function is having the same way as your like normal everyday function, it can be kind of nice because when you're reacting subconsciously to things, you're going to take those actions that would be the same as you would on another moment or on another day and another when you aren't emotional.
Right.
So it kind of can be a nice congruency that you have within yourself where you're like, well, I just had this outburst, but it's something I would have said anyway.
Right. Oh, you know? Interesting. Yeah.
So I think that being born on a new moon can lessen your regrets. This is my theory. I kind of test it out with my clients to see what they think about it. But so far, it's seems like it's a thing.
Yeah. Interesting.
But it can also feel like a kind of focus, you know, it's the same sign. So I'm really focused on these issues. Sometimes that means that I'm way out of balance because I'm overly doing my thing with nothing else to check me, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it is, you know, it can be a kind of, I think being born on a new moon can give you a sense of like go get them.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this is what I'm going to do, and I'm just going to go do it.
Yeah, there is this kind of, like, sprout through the pavement cracks feeling of the new moon. This is this kind of initiatory, you know, energy. Yeah, it's interesting with, like, clients, and, I mean, I think this translates into new moon energy as well, broadly for the collective. Sometimes I feel like there's, because the moon is so much kind of, in many ways, like, our nature, quote-unquote, sort of can represent aspects of the past, regressive, quote-unquote, aspects, but, you know, it's sometimes less conscious aspects of our behavior. And then the sun is this kind of, like, conscious unfolding or striving or mission or individuation. And sometimes I find that it's kind of an interesting process when the sun and the moon are in the same sign, because it's almost like you have to kind of tease out. It's a real concentration of this energy where you have to kind of tease out what you've already, like, got, what's already kind of, like, running with the sign's archetype, and what is still a line of striving or there to be kind of, like, developed and challenged. And, you know, in some ways there can be kind of, like, almost there's such a concentration of energy that there's a lot of teasing sometimes that needs to happen, because there can be less consciousness around, like, some aspects that you're already sort of doing, you know, and others that you're kind of working to develop. But this particular new moon in Libra is the sun and the moon are both square Pluto in Capricorn. So we've got our pal Capricorn making a cardinal square once again. We had the Saturn square at the full moon. And I don't know, this feels to me like, I mean, Pluto is, like, by no means like a, you know, a kind of like
gentle friend,
not a gentle friend, but with all this kind of energy, you know, we've already, the Venus has been traveling through Scorpio. Now it's retrograding through Scorpio. We've got Mercury in Scorpio the next day, you know, moving into, from Libra into Scorpio on the 9th. I don't want to say this feels like Pluto light to me, but with the combination of the new moon, this feels like, I don't know, we're kind of ready to reckon. We're ready to, there's things we're ready to kind of excise and exercise in terms of our relationship patterning, in terms of our relationship to parts of ourselves that we've disowned. And there's kind of like, you know, can we, like, make, like, we were talking a lot in Virgo season about making like nature, that we're not seeing ourselves as apart from nature. Similarly, Pluto is about those life, death, you know, life cycles that doesn't have really, like, doesn't editorialize on it, on death or the falling away of a form and the beginning of another form. So to me, there feels kind of like a certain amount of, you know, can we have this, like, exorcism or excision or whatever, the kind of cutting out of the thing, or the, in this very Libran way, which is like, all right, it's got to go, like, to a certain extent with this new moon energy.
Yeah, this is like the moment where you break the snow globe.
Yeah, but don't lose all the water somehow.
Don't lose it all. Work that. We're going to have to figure out, maybe it's a bubble. Maybe it's like a soap bubble snow globe.
Yeah.
What was your quote again?
Oh, I got to figure out the real quote. You have to leave the life that's, or abandon the life that's, you've imagined in order to live the life that's been waiting for you. Something along those lines.
Yeah.
You know, the kind of the surrender of some of the dreams or some of the projected ideals that just really aren't, like, moving in your gut and your body anymore. And this feels like a great moon for that too, because Pluto is so much like a gut. Scorpio is such a gut instinctual primal kind of place. And we know it needs to go. You know, it's like, can we do it? Can we slough it off without extreme agitation, you know?
Yeah, and without control.
Yeah.
Because a big part of letting go is letting go of the control. Because when you let go, you start to go into the void. And this is what this new moon is, a little bit. It's like, it's the dark where you set your intentions, you let go of control, and you put the ship on autopilot, and you go through the atmosphere, and you see where you land.
Yeah. And I mean, we've learned a lot about that this, you know, especially this summer with the Mars retrograde. You know, there's been a lot of learnings around that Uranus and Taurus sort of blowing some old concepts of security and gripping out of the water. I drew a card for, like, the entire sort of overview of the season as well, and it feels relevant in this moment because it was you know, the card Knight of Cups, which always feels like the image to me of someone, like, walking, like, along a red carpet or down, like, the aisle, like, during a symphony, and there's, like, almost like explosions happening all around the person, but there's, like, an ability, like, to find ease. And it's not saying that we're, like, shutting down to
the reality of these like emotional, our emotions around, you know, changing patterning or, you know, things, certain things, like there can be grief, you know, in this sort of sloughing off of these things, but there can also be majesty, you know, and there can also be a way of walking through it, even if there's like landmine, you know, things are like blowing up around us, that there is still an option. And Libra gifts us that option. It feels like an energy that really relates to Knight of Cups in my mind, you know, too, because it gifts us that there is a more easeful way. And it's not that we're shoving things under, especially with all the Scorpio energy, it's not that we're shoving things under the rug or, you know, not looking at reality, not looking at the down and dirty bits, but that there can be a grace in the grit, you know, somehow in this moment. And it feels connected to this new moon.
Yeah, this flow that you're talking about makes me think, I'm just kind of riffing on what you're saying, but it makes me think of like, if you've ever been in a relationship where you've let some resentment build up, it's like the opposite of real intimacy. It's like the opposite of just being in the flow and really sharing your truth with another person, even if it's hard.
Yeah.
And so this new moon is like an opportunity to like burn through some resentment or stuck feelings, those feelings that got calcified, and just say the real thing. And maybe it is emotional, but it's actually way easier than all the energy that the resentment and the tough feelings carry.
Yeah.
You know, so resistance. It's kind of like, it is a flow, and it's like when the phoenix rises out of the ashes, it's like cleansed and whole and able to fly.
For some reason, maybe this is like the antithetical image to the like walking down the red carpet, and maybe it's like it's a little too gross, but I was talking with a friend recently who has done like a lot of ayahuasca ceremonies, and I have not, you know, but he was telling me about the moment of the purge, which, you know, a lot of people like vomit or, you know, purge in other ways, and they call it getting well, because the moment of the purge then like liberates, you know, everything that comes after and the journey and all this kind of dredging up. But I always thought that was kind of interesting, this like this notion of it like being getting well. I don't know, it feels connected to what you're saying in some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's all connected here in this like cleansing, moving the deep old stuff.
Yeah, bring it up and out. Yeah.
Like, you know, there isn't the control. When you're in the purge, you're out of control. You know, you're just flushing the systems. Yeah.
And maybe that's not the image that you have to like go for this, but it's almost like, you know, anything, it can almost be like volcanic, you know, the beauty of like lava. Well, that's a complicated image too, because that has, you know, a lot of destructive powers. But, you know, there's something somehow more easeful in that moment. We've all experienced it when we've had extreme resistance to like starting a conversation or taking an action in a certain direction. And then immediately the environment is like, it's like there's a liberation, you know, it reminds me of like the tower in tarot, you know, that there's it's something it hurts until like, yeah. And then we just like let it loose, let it go. And then it starts to move and the energy, and we find that the suffering was all in the resistance, you know, or largely in the resistance.
Ooh, yeah. So good. So the end of this season, there's not a ton of major happenings aside from what we've already described, which is that Venus retrograde is continuing. We wanted to look at the Capricorn waxing moon on October 16th. That's somewhat toward the end of the season, which the season ends October 23rd when the sun moves into Scorpio. And as we were looking at the chart for that, Beth and I kind of got into a little astro disagreement. So we thought it would be fun to share it with you, our two different perspectives, because my argument was like, well, toward the end of the season, oh, and I guess I'm looking at the chart again now, I guess I had fast forwarded past the Capricorn waxing moon all the way to the end of Scorpio season when the sun, or sorry, all the way to the end of Libra season when the sun is like almost opposite to Uranus. Mm. And I was saying, yeah, we're kind of signing out of the season with like a breaking free kind of energy, or there's, you know, the we're getting really close. Uranus is at 8 degrees. Or sorry, wow, I'm really musty. I went into with that whole purge conversation. I really total purged. Meltdown. I really melted down. I let it all go.
Perfect.
So Uranus is at 0 degrees Taurus, and the Sun, as it gets to the end of the sign of Libra, will come into the opposition around 28 and 29 degrees of Libra. And I was saying, oh yeah, I'm going to feel that. That's going to be, for me, a sense of like, okay, I got to hit the eject button. Mm. Change things up.
Yeah. Yeah, so the opposition, you know, and it's not to get like too technical, but our sort of like disagreement or, you know, point of creative tension was around the notion of polarity here, because, you know, I, not that I don't honor like out, what we would call an out of sign opposition, where, you know, I would see an opposition's energy really being more with the sign's energy of the opposition, which would be when the Sun was in, you know, at 0 degrees Scorpio, opposing the energy of Taurus. But it feels to me now like I'm kind of intrigued by like, okay, like let's think of, even though it's not a technical opposition between signs, let's think of what a standoff or, you know, a call for an integration is between Libra and Taurus. Mm. And it feels like, again, we're returning to the lesson of like Venus school, you know, because these are the two signs in the zodiac that are ruled by Venus, you know, and they're different expressions of that energy. And there's kind of, there's a certain octave of expression with Libra's rulership by Venus that, you know, is a lot about kind of coming out of the body in some ways and kind of hitting the kind of ideal in partnership and where can we, how can we sort of work together in this not disembodied way, but this way that's beyond just sort of the personal pleasure center. And Taurus is very much rooted in, you know, what's kind of feeling good in the body, but also this kind of receiving, giving. So they both work along that receiving, giving axis, but it almost feels like this is like the grand finale of a month where we've been asked to blow a lot of our old notions about relationship, you know, how we show up, what other people do to us, what we're doing to other people. And it almost feels like the Uranus hit between these two signs that are ruled by Venus is like our graduation ceremony of like, all right, now like, yeah, like you're saying, it's kind of the rupture moment of like, the old way isn't like just okay, change. You know, Uranus comes through and it's just like the lightning strike. It breaks the house. And in this sense, it's like breaking like the love shack. You know?
Yeah. Change to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
In your body, to have more security. Have more stability. It could be either get out of your head and get into your body, or get out of your old stuck ways and get into a new act of compromise, a new partnership, a new pathway.
Yeah. It feels really connected to the Capricorn waxing moon too, because we've had all these kind of hard quote unquote hits by Saturn in Capricorn and Pluto in Capricorn at the full moon and the new moon. And now the Capricorn waxer is like, yeah, Capricorn's a taskmaster, but this is like a juiciness to it. This is like the energy of like, always think about Capricorn related to like mining diamonds or creating really high quality products, because we're being, you know, we're available to put in the work. And it's like, yeah, just gotta like grow the, I don't want to say like grow the fuck up, but like there's a certain element of that, you know, but in a way that we can actually like dig into and say like, yeah, the old way of relating or being, you know, in relationship is it's just like, yeah, not feeling right in my physical body, in my spiritual body, and like, let's just graduate, let's just up level, let's just, you know, like get on with it, get on with the work of like, you know, the next thing, the next kind of like rock, craggy rock up the side of the mountain or whatever it is, to get to like this, you know, sumptuous ski lodge or whatever you want to imagine at the top of the mountain. But yeah, it's kind of it's a sumptuous sobering, you know, in some ways. Like there's a kind of deliciousness in the difficulty, but also like the difficulty is liberated by just saying like, okay, I gotta do this work now, all right, let's change it up, you know.
Yeah, get into the life that's waiting for you.
Yeah totally. So yeah, all in all a month of both grit and grace, a month to take some, or a season to take some, you know, deep dives into projection and ownership, you know, really, in a way that can ultimately
liberate you to show up as a, you know, kind of fuller, messier, gorgeous human in all sorts of relationships.
Mm-hmm. To keep the vision and ideal of balance and beauty, but to do it in a more functional way.
Yeah.
Well.
And next season, for Scorpio season, we'll be diving even deeper into the trenches of all of these themes. But for now, we're so happy that you've joined us for this installment. And as always, if you enjoy this, please share it. Feel free to rate it. And
subscribe.
Subscribe, of course. And yeah, you can find us on thenumenous.com and on Instagram. And until Scorpio season, we hope you enjoy the trips into the trenches in, you know, the most tantalizing, delicious way.
Yeah, flow easy with Venus.
Yeah.
And we can't wait to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.